Welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. First, let's introduce our guests. This week we have the lovely and not at all life-wrecking Joy Aston. Joy, which animal are you championing today?
Today, Catherine, my animal is the lemming.
Very nice. Our next guest is Sarah Leach. She's not a leech, she's a person. Sarah, which creature will you be championing today?
I am here to champion the reindeer or caribou, depending on which part of the world you're in.
Okay, and finally, we have Emma, small and biologically interesting Parkin. Emma, which creature are you going to be championing today on this Christmas episode?
I, Catherine, am championing the incredibly festive anglerfish.
Excellent. And I'm Catherine Webb. All right, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds. In each round, the creatures will have to face a scenario and try and survive it. Contestants, if you feel your creature is not up to the task, you can turn over your wild card and find out which animal I've given you. You can only do this once in the competition. At the end of each round, the creatures will be judged. The judge's rule is final. No arguing. I'm the judge. Okay, and on with the first scenario. Scenario. You are taking your creature as a plus one to the event of the year, a family Christmas dinner. It's always a charged event with senile and racist relatives exchanging full and frank views with your little goth cousin. How are you going to defend your choice of partner?
I'm going to go for my wild card, just straight off the bat. Why not? I hope you've given me something nice. Okay, that's worse. Jellyfish. I'm just going to say I'm going through a phase in my life where I need something slightly more gelatinous than a human being. And if they have a problem with it, then I won't come home for Christmas.
Ooh. Okay, strong words. Sarah, how are you going to defend your choice of bringing your reindeer to Christmas dinner?
I feel like there's a painfully obvious answer here in that why wouldn't you bring a reindeer to a Christmas dinner? It's already on everybody's jumpers and everything. But I think you could go beyond that because reindeer are very strong animals. They spend a lot of their lives going around, and especially the females, they devote a lot of care to their young. They have a lot of interesting adaptations, including having an amazing scent connection to their babies that helps them find each other in herds that can be tens of thousands of animals. So I think that devotion to family and care and things is something that no matter where you are, if you're the goth cousin or the conservative aunt or uncle, everybody cares about family.
That nearly brought a little Christmas tear to my eye there. All right. Emma, how are you going to defend having brought the anglerfish? I don't think you can bring family values into this one.
No. Well, so going off something that Sarah just said, I think the anglerfish would appeal to both the more genteel members of the family with its little luminous light. It would fit in really well with the Christmas tree and then also appease the goth cousin because it's super spooky. I'm actually going to go with my wild card because I don't think it's going to work.
I was going to have a question. Is your anglerfish partner male or female anglerfish? Because that will...
Yeah. Well, are you heterosexual, so it's going to have to be the male anglerfish.
In which case...
He'd be a little knob on your arm or something. Yeah, they wouldn't even know.
Okay, fine, we'll go with the anglerfish. So, anglerfish are known for incredible sexual dimorphism. At least the deep sea order of anglerfish are, in that the female is so much larger than the male. I'm not quite sure of the proportions, but if you imagine it, this isn't to scale, but if you imagine it, the female's like an elephant and the male is like a mouse by comparison. And the little male is so tiny it never eats. I'm sure it sleeps. I was going to say it never eats, it never sleeps. But basically, it never eats, it never hunts for itself, and it swims around in the deep, dark sea until it hopefully finds a female anglerfish and then attaches itself to the base of this massive female anglerfish and basically atrophies. It starts to wither away and degenerate. Very Christmassy, this. Starts to wither away and degenerate until it's basically just a hanging sack of balls that's attached to the female by a shared load of blood vessels, which the female can use as sperm whenever she feels like it. So That's pretty incredible. And they think that this possibly evolved in the deep sea because the chances of running into a mate multiple times and being able to find one are so slim in these dark conditions that, quite frankly, you might as well just get one when you can find one and stick yourself to them.
Now, this is quite interesting because you're not yet the age where all your relatives will be starting to try and pressurise you to have children and wonder when you're going to settle down. Yeah.
So in which you can just show them. You can just show them your little festive baubles on your arm.
So if I've got an anglerfish stuck to me, I can be like, look, I'm in a happy codependent relationship with my partner. He cannot leave me. There will be no divorce in this very conservative family. And it's kind of grotesque, so it's going to appease my goth cousin.
No one needs to appease the goth cousin.
And that's why I'm bringing an anglerfish to Christmas dinner.
I think like that was almost a team effort, but I'd say Emma has to win that.
That was a good one. I like that.
Okay, scenario number two. Scenario. It's that time of year again where ill-informed people try to deny the existence of Santa Claus. Your creature is on a quest to travel to the North Pole and prove them wrong. How will it get there and how will it survive in the harsh temperatures and conditions?
So lemmings live underneath and on snow. So they'll be like scuttling around doing their thing, and they can also like breed up to massive numbers, which kind of led rise to that whole lemmings commit suicide off cliffs myth. So the lemmings will be in this huge group and they'll run and they'll scuttle under the snow and through the snow and all the way to the North Pole. They will pick up Santa on top of them all and bring him back, and then we'll maybe like, or maybe we'll do an interview with him and like record him and then bring the footage back. But ideally we will bring Santa back with us to show everyone. Maybe not at Christmas because he's quite busy, but maybe on like, you know, 27th December or something.
Twixtmas.
Yeah.
That bit of the year where we're all a bit bored.
Are these genetically modified lemmings that can use camera and recording equipment?
No, they bring him back. Maybe the BBC will do it.
Okay, they're just the transport mode
for
Santa.
Yeah, they're just to carry him all the way back. Against his will.
Do we have to carry him back? Was that part of the scenario?
No, it's
or just prove his existence.
I think proof would be that we've brought him to you to look at.
Yeah.
There he is.
All right. I feel like one of us has an advantage here, Sarah.
You mean that reindeer are better at finding Santa than lemmings and anglerfish? I'm shocked. But they would be. And this is why. They are animals that are adapted to traveling long distances in the Arctic. Lemmings are great.
Yeah, they must die.
They live in the Arctic. But lemmings don't migrate thousands of kilometers in a year, which reindeer do. They can migrate well over 1,000 kilometers a year. And they do that with a set of awesome adaptations. Their feet are kind of like snowshoes. They spread out to hold their weight over thin snow or ice, as there often is at the North Pole nowadays. They can swim very well, almost as well as they can walk. They use ultraviolet light to see under the snow to find lichen to eat.
They use ultraviolet light
to find food.
You should have brought that in on the Christmas dinner scenario.
How would that have helped?
I know.
It would have convinced me if I was there.
Oh, well, all right.
by saying they use ultraviolet light, do you mean that they see in the ultraviolet light spectrum?
Yeah, they see in the ultraviolet spectrum. And so they can see through the snow to what's underneath the snow, because the snow doesn't really, is pretty much see-through for ultraviolet light. So I would say, if you are going to take an animal to the North Pole and maybe bring Santa back, I would go with a reindeer instead of a lemming.
Yeah. They could use their magical Christmas flying powers as well.
You know, flying is one of those things that scientists haven't observed them doing it so far, but the Arctic is really big and we don't really have any proof that they can't either. So I think, you know, there's more research that needs to be done on that.
I've read that they sometimes eat psychoactive mushrooms, so maybe sometimes they just think they could fly.
Yeah. Also, when they're running across the snow, some people have theorized that they look like they're flying because the snow is sort of white and not very much there.
Yeah. I prefer to believe that they actually fly.
That would be really cool.
I like the mushroom story best.
Yeah.
That's
did you know
my
that?
Favorite.
They
I didn't know that.
They eat psychoactive mushrooms, and then the people who like herd reindeer drink their wee to get high.
This just gets better.
Yeah.
So it might be that those people who drank the psychoactive reindeer wee are the people who started this rumor about reindeer
I love that explanation.
Yeah, I'm really glad you.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because I do actually think that would be a good way to get Santa to come with you.
It would
get him high on reindeer wee.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Emma, what are you gonna do?
Okay, so the anglerfish, you might not think are very well adapted to this scenario, but I'm going to prove you wrong. Anglerfish, deep sea anglerfish, live in conditions that are very, very cold and very, very dark and very, very high pressure, which is why they look like such horrific monsters, because they have adapted themselves to survive in this high pressure environment. In fact, actually, they've mostly tried to study deep sea animals by taking them out of the high pressure environment, and therefore they have collapsed, which makes sense when you think about it logically, but people didn't think logically when they were dredging things up from the sea. The hydrostatic pressure inside their body is so great that they either explode or just flop. So when you've seen a blobfish and you've seen pictures of blobfish, that's actually not what they look like. That's what blobfish look like above water, where they're not in the pressure environment where they live. They actually look a bit cuter when they're filled up and happy under the deep sea. Anyway, anglerfish are adapted to the deep sea. It's incredibly cold, incredibly dark. And in order to find food in this incredibly dark environment, they have developed a lure, hence the name, not a lure as in like a romantic attraction, but a lure as in a dorsal spine, a modified dorsal fin, which hangs over the front and has a little bioluminescent bulb full of microbiotic, mutualistic bacteria that allows them to attract fish in the sea by flashing and pretending it's food, because fish in the sea normally think, oh, light is food. But in the case of the anglerfish, it's not. And then they grab them with their big teeth and eat them. And it only works if there's frequency dependence.
So are you going to eat Santa?
No, I haven't got there yet. It only works when there's only a few enough anglerfish in the area that the little fish don't get used to the signal being anglerfish. They still think it's food. So anyway, we're going to swim to the North Pole because whatever, we live in the deep sea, one of the harshest environments on the earth. We're going to make it, not going to be a problem. We're going to light the way with our little lure. We're going to get to the North Pole. We're going to take a flash photograph with our lure. And then we're going to present this to people. We could in fact recreate Santa's sleigh with the anglerfish, with the Maz Rudolph.
How are you going to get through the ice to the surface to get to Santa? Because
got big teeth. And we have family members in different, so the anglerfish is quite a big collective group. The order I'm talking about, I can't remember what they're called, ceratonoids are the deep sea ones, but there are anglerfish that are benthic, pelagic, they all live at different points of the sea, so we'll just send a little light message upwards.
Do any of them live on land?
Ooh. I'm sure Santa occasionally goes for a swim.
Santa goes for a swim? Are you kidding me?
He'll be sleeping after Christmas. He ain't going for a swim.
After all that whiskey,
he's ready for a dip.
Ow. All right. I think we know who's won this one. Sarah, you're the winner. And that's the end of scenario two. And on to the next scenario. Marketing executives from John Lewis need a star for their new Christmas ad. Pitch them a tear-jerking yet heartwarming plotline that stars your creature.
Right, so we're going with the myth that lemmings commit mass suicide. So picture the scene.
Very festive.
Right, wow. All the lemmings are running.
It's very festive.
It does. It is a problem. So it's also going to link into like maybe the Samaritans will be partnering with John Lewis for this. The lemmings are heading towards the cliff. And then maybe like some adorable child is there being like, no, stop. And then all the lemmings and the little kid have a cuddle and walk away from the cliff. And that's the advert.
Aren't you perpetuating the myth that they do commit mass suicide? Which, as we know, Walt Disney just pushed them all over a cliff.
They didn't. They do sometimes. They do swim across large masses of water. They will plunge into water. But sometimes if the mass of water is too large, they will all drown. They don't purposefully all die in the water. They're going into the water with the intention of coming out the other side, and sometimes they don't make it.
But am I right in thinking that the original myth was because Disney drove them all off the cliff?
Yeah, but are any John Lewis adverts biologically accurate?
No. And also, have,
talking teddy bears aren't real.
Sorry.
Sorry, Anna.
So that's my pitch.
Yeah. All right. I like it. I can see how you might build on that.
Public good, you know.
Yeah. All right. Sarah.
So, obviously, reindeer at a little bit of a disadvantage in this one, given that you wanted a new mascot for the holidays, and they are the definition of a mascot for the holidays. But I think that what would be really interesting is to show people the real story of partnerships between reindeers and humans instead of the sort of Santa's sleigh ones that might be fake. Because here's
Sarah.
All my Christmas dreams have been shattered in this episode.
Sarah, please.
I said might.
I can't believe what a cynic you are. Go on.
So here's the thing. Reindeer and humans live side by side. In fact, they are a domesticated animal. And they are used by humans that live in areas that are too cold for things like cattle, but also horses and all sorts of things to use. And they replace all of those animals in people's lives. So they pull sort of sleighs across the ground. They are used for herding and eating. Reindeer milk is drunk by people. Reindeer meat is eaten by people. They use the antlers that they shed every year. And overall, these are crucial animals to help the survival of people all around the world in the Arctic. And I think that story is missed most of the time when we talk about these animals.
Okay. It's not making a tear run down my cheek, though.
I thought it was quite sweet.
It's kind of sweet.
Well, you would show it as, you know, like a young girl herding reindeer and her relationship to the reindeer that she herds and lives with. Just like you would. I mean, we've all seen the ads where somebody has a special relationship with their horse, right?
Yeah.
Those always bring a little flutter to my heart and a tear to my eye. And this would be a version of it, just with a much more unusual animal to see that relationship.
You might want to miss out the bit where she eats his flesh.
Well,
not very festive.
You know.
It is festive.
It's extremely
really
festive, actually. That's true. Reindeer meat. Well, if it was a Waitrose advert, then you'd be totally sorted. It would just be like, this is my Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
All right, Emma?
Okay, so what's one of the saddest experiences to have at Christmas time? It's when you love somebody and they can't be there with you to celebrate Christmas. So we're talking about long, long distance loving relationships here. And nowhere is that more paramount than in the anglerfish to begin with. So I didn't actually mention how the anglerfish mate to find each other. So the male has really super enlarged nostrils. Like, he's a very small thing, but in proportion to his body size...
He's all nostril.
He's a man with all nostril.
So hot, that's what I look for.
And he's very, very good at texting the tiniest, tiniest concentrations of the female pheromone in the deep, vast, black oceans. So he follows the pheromone trails as far as he can. And then, what's that? It's a star, almost above a manger in Bethlehem, where he sees a flashing light in the distance. And it is, in fact, his wonderful female anglerfish who he has been searching for through the whole deep sea. And I didn't mention this, but the female anglerfish has bioluminescent light, which means living light, produced by the bacteria in its little bulb. And it has one pattern for attracting food and another pattern to tell a mate that it's around. So she'll be flashing like a guiding light for the wise men, the star over Bethlehem, being like, come to me, my love, I am here. And he will go, okay, and he will swim to her, and they will spend the rest of their lives joined as one entity. And that is my John Lewis Christmas advert.
Oh man, that is definitely the winner. That's great. I like that you brought Jesus into it as well. I'd totally forgotten about him. That's great. So overall, Emma is the winner.
Yeah.
Woo! Do we want to do a bonus extra scenario? Do we have time?
Yeah, we've got time.
All right. Okay, here, this is the extra Christmas bonus.
Will Joy get a point?
Happy Christmas!
I think Joy could do well in this one, actually.
Okay!
Here we go, scenario. Shit, Christmas crept up on you really fast this year. It's 11 p.m, 24th of December, and all you have to give your loved one is your creature. How will you convince them that it's a good present?
Low maintenance, eats grass, basically a guinea pig, but a bit more, you know, bit more exotic. I'm gonna use that
word. Who is your loved one in this scenario?
It'd probably be my mum, because also her birthday's the 21st.
Oh my gosh, you left your mum's present till last minute.
Her birthday's the 21st, so obviously I've done her a great birthday present this year. I've been top daughter. And it comes to Christmas and I'm like, oh, I forgot Christmas was happening. Oops.
Yeah.
I'll give her a lemming.
Yeah.
My mum's always had guinea pigs. So I'll be like, Mum, this is like a better version of a guinea pig. We can let it loose. Now Birmingham's covered in snow. Like Birmingham is absolutely covered in snow. Let it loose. Just let it do its thing in the garden.
Yeah.
Guinea pigs couldn't do that. Guinea pig could die cold. Like,
and I know your mum already is she likes animals.
She does like animals.
She's got her alpaca farm.
It's not a farm, we have five, but yeah.
It's a budding farm.
She has alpaca pets.
There are some pet alpacas involved, yeah.
Cool. All right. I think that seems like a reasonable present. Reindeer is a harder sell. Who's the person that you're going to give it to? Who's your loved one that you might have accidentally forgotten? Has to be the main person.
Yeah, I am going to go with my dad, because he's always the hardest one to shop for, so I often leave his gift until the last minute because I spend so much time racking my brain. And oftentimes, he just sends us a list of what he wants for Christmas or his birthday or Father's Day or anything, because he apparently knows that he's hard to shop for, which is very helpful. But I assume this year he failed too, and maybe I was waiting for this list that never came.
He is a bad dad. He
should
have given you the list.
But I'm going to reject the premise of this question and do something else because it is a bonus round. Because
okay.
Here's the thing. Whoa. I think that a reindeer could get me a gift at 11 o'clock on the eve. And here's how. So reindeer are fierce.
And
now,
they can fly.
Yeah, and at the holidays, female reindeer are the ones that have antlers. They're the only type of deer where females grow antlers at all. And most of the time around Christmas, females are the only ones with antlers left. Sometimes young, immature males are the odd weird one. But statistically speaking, Rudolph is a girl. And they keep those antlers because they have to fight off the males so that they can get enough food to gestate their babies and to feed them once they're born. So these animals,
awesome.
Yeah, they beat off the males that are bigger than themselves. And I figure if you can beat off the males, they've got these big, hard, strong antlers, they can break down the door of any shop and get me whatever I want.
Yeah, you're going to use violence to get your dad a present.
To get what you want.
I like that.
What's more Christmassy than that?
Yeah. All right, Emma?
Okay, so as we mentioned, if I tried to give an anglerfish as a present above land, we'd have a very soggy, sorry looking anglerfish. So I'm going to use my wild card.
I'm excited.
Oh, I've got Drosophila. Fruit fly.
So festive.
Who's the person?
Well, I was going to say George, but I have already got him a present, my boyfriend.
No,
but
this
is an additional
reality.
Present. Okay. So
is it not?
Really?
No.
What?
Okay, so Drosophila, fruit flies. Very, very genetically interesting. Used as a model organism for a lot of studies. Not all that relevant to Christmas. They can come in sometimes kind of shiny colours, like a slightly metallic-y sheen to their wings.
They might come in on your Christmas oranges.
Well, yes, and I was thinking as well, as a Christmas present, you know when you've finished your Christmas dinner and you have so much leftover food, you don't know what to do with it, and the bin's full, the garbage disposal's full, the sink's broken, and you have a load of Christmas pudding left. Who better than a fruit fly and their friends to come help you clear up by eating it all?
I feel like it would all rot before the fruit flies. They're very
tiny. I don't think
tiny.
They care. I don't think they'll mind if it's all rotted.
No, but would you mind if there was just rotting food in your kitchen?
I eat the garden.
They die of cold.
So you're flies are hardy.
You're
Drosophila. And they smell with their feet and taste with their feet. So
Drosophila are not hardy.
It's a shame George isn't like a geneticist, because that would have
worked. Oh, that would
better,
be cute.
Don't think they know any geneticists.
No. All right. It was a valiant attempt. But, I think the winner again is Sarah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I like the violent female reindeer. Yeah, so that kind of leaves it... hang on.
That's
who was the initial winner?
It's a draw.
Okay,
mate.
So Emma is the winner. Is the winner, officially. But Sarah is the... the spiritual and moral winner of this.
Will I ever score any points ever?
I don't think you've got that kind of fighting.
You're going to become the Alan Davis of this show.
Let's hope your hair doesn't go that way.
Oh God, thanks.
All right, and that's the end of Creature World. Shall we all say bye?
Bye.
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.